As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hear that podcast growling, mean and angry. Hear that vocal shouting, it's Danger and Jay. It's Danger and Jay.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of Hear That Podcast Growling. Paul Avery Jr. and Jay Morrison of The Athletic here with you on a Sunday night in Orchard Park, New York, on the walkout on a night where the Cincinnati Bengals advance in the divisional round of the playoffs with a 27-10 manhandling of the Buffalo Bills in a snowstorm. So here's your task. Go to Buffalo, face Josh Allen, elite quarterback, where Sean McDermott is undefeated at home in the playoffs. Jay, as we will discuss later, you notably pointed out the Buffalo Bills have the best winning percentage at home in the playoffs in NFL history. An elite team, the league forced you to come here instead of the neutral site that maybe you could have been given. And go do it in their weather.
Yeah.
Do it in their snowstorm, in their stadium, in their environment. And come in and take control of the game from the opening instant and never let it go. You know, there's a lot of talk about disrespect and this, that, and the other. That's fine. All of it, everything from the line where they're 6-point underdogs in Vegas, mm-hmm. played directly into who this team, the personality really of who they are, which is they love it. Michael Thomas said to me after the game, we love it. We love it. Give us more. Give us more of the reasons to doubt us. Give us more of the reasons why this is the hardest path. They love the hard way. They thrive with all the odds stacked against them, having to take the hard path. And this is undeniably the hard path. And they came in here and took it to Buffalo in every way, shape, or form. Held them to 10 points, the lowest number they've been held to all year. The previous low was 17. Went up 14-0 in an instant. Ran the ball efficiently for the first time in a month. Not just a little bit, 172 yards and 5.1 per carry. They did everything you would need to do to win this game. And they kicked the Bills' ass. I mean, that's stunning. To come up here and win, I don't think anybody's stunned by that, knowing who the Bengals are. To just take it to them like that, what an announcement, what a statement by the Bengals today.
And, oh, by the way, they did it with three starting offensive linemen missing. Jackson Carman at left tackle, a lot of questions about that. That O-line played great today. And we talked all week, really for a couple weeks, about how those first 9 minutes of that Monday night canceled game didn't really mean anything. You can't judge anything off of that. Maybe we were wrong, because today's opening drive looked a hell of a lot like that opening drive, where they just went right through the Bills defense and set the tone early. And it was snowing, but it was more sleet at that time. And Joe Burrow's out there just throwing passes right on the guy's numbers. He starts 9 for 9 like it's a sunny day in California. It was surprising. I was going to say, I remember 364 days ago, we were recording this walkout podcast, and I remember your quote distinctly. We were, I don't even know if surprise is the right word, but you said the Cincinnati Bengals are one win away from the freaking Super Bowl. And it does. Yes, it was surprising they won the way they did today. I'm not surprised in the least that they're one win away from the freaking Super Bowl again.
No, I totally agree. This is a team that we have suggested. I think there's a lot of evidence that they are and have been for a long time better than last year's Bengals team. Mm-hmm. Today confirmed it.
Yeah.
Today confirmed this is a team that is far better, far more equipped to take it all the way than last year's team was. And last year's team was one drive away. The fact that you can come up here and turn a previously non-existent running game into that in the snow against the Bills, and Joe Burrow can have seven different receivers with a completion of at least 10 yards in this game, just spreading it around to whoever he needed to have a masterful offensive game plan to offset any potential issues that you would feel with the offensive line. You know, the play, the 3rd and 10 to Hayden Hurst is the perfect example of it. Late in the game, the Bills are hanging on for dear life. It's 3rd and 10. And the Bills bring a pressure, and Joe Burrow just, you can't do it. Hayden Hurst with a quick chip on the outside and then floats out to the flat all alone, catches it, hurdles a dude right at the marker to get the first down. And that really felt like the one that started to really send them to the exits. And, but they did that type of stuff all day. We talked about Joe Burrow is better equipped to deal with this than last year. You saw his evolution today. He took so many checkdowns and was comfortable doing it that turned into big runs, whether they be thrown out to Mixon, Higgins in the flat, you know, you name it, the Hurst play, perfect example, finding those, knowing where those high percentages were, and it kept their offense moving up and down the field. You know, 27 points, and that's with 4 points taken off the board by New York with a chase play that could have kind of gone either way. And that's really incredible. And that's one thing in its own, right? This is the most well-rounded team in football. I think I can say that confidently. And certainly the most well-rounded team that we're talking about right now, maybe the Eagles.
Yeah.
Maybe the Eagles. I don't know. Maybe whatever. But Lou Anarumo hasn't gotten a head coaching interview. I wouldn't be surprised if he had some waiting on him in his voicemail in the locker room. What a game plan, what execution to hold Josh Allen and that offense to just 10 points and make them work so hard. It was just, he had to do hero ball the whole time just to make anything happen is masterful, quite frankly, from Lou today.
Yeah, that was just it where it seemed, even though the Bengals jumped out to that 14-0 lead, you know what playoff football is. You know what how this Bills team can feed off of its crowd, how any team can feed off its home crowd. And it never felt comfortable. It felt like, oh, every time the Bills would get something going, you're like, oh, it's just going to, if they get one stop, they get a score, they get a stop, this thing can change in a hurry. It looked like maybe they might have a chance to double up on the Bengals at the end of the first half and then the start of the second half. Lou never let that happen. Joe Burrow never let that. The Bengals never had a 3-and-out. Their shortest drive was 6 plays until that final 2 kneel downs. They just never gave Buffalo a chance to grab any sort of momentum. And it was Lou and that game plan just chasing Josh Allen around. He didn't have to bring a lot of pressure. The defensive line was whipping their offensive line and getting pressure on him all over the place. And Josh Allen did what he does. He made some incredible throws, but they couldn't sustain it. It was every now and then he'd hit one of those, but more often than not, it was a struggle just for them to get anything going. And you're right. I'm surprised that Lou hasn't gotten any calls. Maybe that continued. I don't know. The Bengals would love it. They would love to have him back. But how many times do you have to see it? He did it to Patrick Mahomes in the second half of the regular season last year, in the AFC Championship game last year, in that game this year, and now to does it to Josh Allen. These are two of the best quarterbacks in the league, and he's rendered them ineffective.
And it's not, and again, this isn't some superstar defense like the Rams last year with Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey and Von Miller and guys that are going to be in the Hall of Fame. And that's not to discount any of the players on the Bengals defense, but this is a bunch of guys, and they will be the first one to tell you this. In fact, all of them basically did in some different way. All guys that didn't get a second contract from the team that drafted them, that have been counted out their whole lives, that have felt disrespected. Yep. And that's what, and Lou and Zach Taylor and their entire coaching staff and that defense have tapped into that so much. They did last year playing the underdog thing. But this year, you know, you just sense that they have found this way to weaponize that fact that they all feel like these totally disrespected guys that love the hard aspect of all of it. You know, DJ Reader talked to me after the game, who, you know, if you want to hear about somebody feeling disrespected and the attitude of the team, you can go to him. And that's what he said. He said, quote, "Don't matter. We got a bunch of guys in this room that believe in us, and that's really all that fucking matter. All that other stuff, the extras, this, that, and the third, that shit is not important. Not important. We came in here in their own building. They put up 10 fucking points. We put up 27. We go into KC next week. That's all that matter. Count us out. Count around. Bengals ain't this. Bengals ain't that. We just keep showing up. Keep playing on Sundays." DJ Reader right there. Pardon his French and mine. But that was the sense, really, that kind of typifies the entire locker room. Mm-hmm. Like, the everything that's been going on about how many times did we got to prove it is what they kind of kept saying. Mm-hmm. Like, what I kind of came to at the end was they don't care. They love it. And so how many times do they have to prove it? It doesn't matter because they're going to go play in Kansas City next week, and they hope that they'll eventually play in the Super Bowl, and then nobody can take anything away from them. And they certainly aren't right now, but you know, this defense has really tapped into that. And Reader, Hubbard, B.J. Hill, Joseph Osai, Hendrickson, all of those guys changed the entire dynamic of this game, and you know, took advantage of a weakness on the Bills that we probably was not, people weren't paying enough attention to this week. A team that gave up 7 sacks last week, mm-hmm, against the Dolphins. Everyone busy talking about the Bengals backups. In fact, it was the offensive line for the Bills that ended up being the real issue that changed the game.
Yeah. And you talk about going to Kansas City. I'm sure there's a lot of Bengal fans out there that are maybe wondering / hoping Patrick Mahomes might not be able to go in that game. We don't know what that knee injury or that ankle injury is. If you were to ask the guys on this defense, I bet you to a man, every one of them say, put him in there. We want to play Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. We want to play the best. We want to beat the best. We want to go to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row by beating the 1 seed and the 2 seed in their stadiums both years. I mean, it's just the makeup of this team. They want to be disrespected, and they want everybody's best shot, and they take it and they thrive on it. And as I said earlier, it's, when does it quit being a surprise? Because it seems like every week we wonder, oh, this might be trouble. And there they go again. To win this game by 17, it was just, I don't want to say I'm stunned, but I did not see that coming. I picked him to win, but I thought it was going to be a 2-point game. I expect this to be back and forth. Last team to have the ball wins. Bengals were the last team with the ball. They won, but that's not the way I expected it to happen.
All right, let's take a second and switch gears here and hear from a sponsor.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I tweeted this out, but there weren't like a lot of cigars, but Eli Apple had one. And Eli Apple, with his leaning back against the wall, puffing a cigar. In fact, almost he choked himself out at one point. He was like, he went too hard on it and he started choking, and he apologized to all of us because he was choking, because he was putting on this act. He was just puffing on a cigar while you ask a question, and then he'd give you like a one or two word answer and then go back to the cigar and keep looking at you. And ask him something, he goes, because we're the best. And then he pulls back to puffing and asks follow up. He said, yeah, because we're the greatest. I mean, just Eli Apple ripping a cigar, talking about how the Bengals defense is the best in the league and they're the greatest, and just doing that on repeat is kind of the attitude of this entire team right now, sitting here just saying, yeah, kind of who we are.
I mean, it happened again. I got another bro hug tonight. I just went up and dapped up Jackson Carman and told him congratulations, and he goes in for the bro hug. But he also was working on repeat, because everybody was asking him about feeling disrespected and people saying that they couldn't win with this line, and ask him if he took it personal. And he said, just rely on my teammates, trust in God, and go out and execute. I was like, yeah, but did you hear the criticism? Just rely on my teammates, trust in God, and go out and execute. He didn't want to play into that game, but you know they did. Those guys all heard it. Max Sharping, Hakeem Adeniji, Jackson Carman. I talked to Alex Kappa, and he was so happy for those guys. He was so damn proud of what they did. And, you know, it's maybe he comes back, but I think people are feeling a lot better about if Alex and Jonah can't come back. Yes, you want them in there. But this was a statement by that offensive line, by those backup guys. A statement by the entire 53 today. I mean, just really, really impressive.
Their most complete game.
Yeah.
Bengals' most complete game that we've seen over, I would say this two-year stretch even. I would go all the way back through last year. I think this is the most complete game they've played, the most impressive game they've played, the most impressive win they've had. And Ted Karras told you, right, that this was his favorite win of his entire career.
Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute, you have two Super Bowl rings. How is this? And he said it was the most recent one. It's the biggest one. And we've got a chance to go to Kansas City and hoist the Lamar Hunt Trophy. And that is an incredible opportunity. And Ted Karras, 3-0 in AFC Championship games, by the way. But I was stunned by that, where a guy with two Super Bowl rings said this was the greatest win of his career.
Yeah. You know, a lot of this motivation and disrespect is because of you, Jay. And you got the post-game shout-out, actually.
Yeah.
Because your stat, Jay's apparently got motivational stats now, about Buffalo being the winningest – having the winningest record in NFL history in the postseason was cut, copy, paste – right into the Saturday night meeting presentation. Yeah. And Zach Taylor sort of said, I wanted that in there. Yeah. He said, I want to thank Jay Morrison for having that stat and putting that out there so that I could take that and cut it and put it right in the presentation, because I knew what that would do. You know, that he said, I knew what it would do. It wouldn't cause the fear of, oh no, how are we going to go win here? He said it would be the opposite for our guys. And it was, because again, it goes back to they love it. They love the idea of the hard path and this being something that is impossible to do, right? And I don't know if people have seen the post-game celebration video that the team put out from the game balls and such, but Duff
who has the "they gotta play us" line that he usually screams, just screamed out 13-2. So clearly, all of that, Jay has motivational stats, apparently. Well, who knew?
I would like to thank Zach for that shout out, because I know what Sam Hubbard kind of felt like. He talked about his phone blowing up. A lot of you guys were watching the post-game press conference and heard the shout out. Zach, give me the shout out. And so I got a lot of messages on Twitter and a lot of text messages on my phone from friends and family that were watching that. It's kind of a fun thing. It surprises me. I thought it was a great stat, but I'm kind of surprised. And then again, I'm not, because like you said, this team will find any motivation they can. No one was saying they can't win because they're 13-1, but it was an amazing stat knowing they were coming into this environment. And yeah, they weren't scared of it. They embraced it and they came in and they took this crowd out of this game. It was quiet at times in this game, and you just don't hear that at this stadium.
I marked it down. 10 seconds left in the first quarter. First crowd eruption. I mean, that was it. There was no, yeah. It was the first play where the crowd got happy. They got a stop on a third down. I mean, the entire first quarter, it was silent. You know, DJ kind of said, look, we felt like we walked out here like, he said, quote, "this is our shit." And we felt like the crowd was taken out of it before the game even started, because we felt like it was our place. And the way they came out instantly and went up 14-0, really those first two series, you know, drive down the field, then get the three and out and the punt, and not even just counting the fact that they would get another touchdown.
And another three and out.
Another three and out. Change. I mean, it did. It took everything out of this place. Mm-hmm. It changed the entire dynamic of the game. And that's who they've been. I mean, we talked about the coin toss thing as a joke almost. But, I mean, they said, if we win the coin toss, we're taking the ball and we're taking mm-hmm. it to them. That's been their attitude. Last year, they were the team of deferral in the middle eight. And this year, they have been the punch the other team in the mouth immediately and take control type of team that's fit their personality. And it played out again here in this one as they were able to do that. And it totally changed the game. And their defense was really able to finish it off from there. Couple of scenes I want to touch on. Cam Taylor-Britt has a interception, his first career interception that seals the game at the very end there, kind of sliding down. And we were walking out on the field. We were going down there. I was kind of wanting to go. There's family down there. I wanted to just poke around and kind of see, get a feel for what the snow was looking like on the field. And it was kind of almost like an icy slush down there. And Sam Hubbard said after the game, he's like, I mean, I could hardly stand, much less get, you know, have like a get off or redirect. It was just survival, basically, trying to actually play out there on the snow. But out there was Cam's mother and father-in-law, who I had written a story about Cam earlier in the year about him and them and their relationship and why he has Taylor-Britt on his as his name and all of that. So said hello to them, and then Cam was coming down. They were just, you know, obviously beside themselves, happy. Mm-hmm. Cam comes down with the ball in hand, and just the two biggest, longest hugs you'll see with both of them. Cool. I mean, it's the cool moment about, you know, how nerve-wracking this was for them watching it, and then to see him have a game, a big PBU on a play down the sideline as well to Gabe Davis, where he was beat and then came back and got the ball knocked out at the last second, gets the pick, a huge game for him. And, you know, what did we say, man? Like, if Cam Taylor-Britt can't become a guy, this team is exposed. Mm-hmm. He's kind of become a guy a little bit.
Yeah.
He's really grown up, particularly over the last month.
It's funny. I asked his mom, I said, on that play down the sideline, were you like, oh, yeah. And she's like, yes, exactly. Could you see me? She's like, exactly what it was like. And Cam Taylor-Britt keeps the streak going now, 7 straight games with a turnover in the fourth quarter.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it was on the line. And the only turnover of the game. You know, that's just the other thing. You thought, okay, the way the Bengals have to win this game is by taking advantage of Josh Allen's weakness mm-hmm. and committing turnovers. And it felt like the combination of the Bengals pass rush and Josh being hyper aware of not wanting to turn the ball over against this team made them a little like the Bills lifeless a little bit on offense. Mm-hmm. And that's why they couldn't really seem to get much going, partially because there was, you know, that quick strike attack, those big plays, it seemed like Allen was kind of scared to try and make him because I don't think he trusted what he was seeing. I don't think he felt comfortable back there in the pocket all day. And that goes back to what we talked about at the beginning with Lou Anarumo and this defense. A nice day on special teams too. Tough conditions. Evan McPherson makes all his kicks. None of them have necessarily a high degree of difficulty. No. Snaps were bad. Drew Crispin was catching every kind of, you know, Cal Adamitis was snapping all over the place. It's hard in the snow and all this stuff, the conditions. It is hard on those guys. They convert everything. Again, most complete game for the Bengals. Joe Burrow said the same thing after the game, after he said on the field, better get a refund for those tickets to on TV as a line just to add to his legend there, because he's always got to make sure he sneaks those in. And that was really the refrain from the team too. So off it goes, back to Kansas City.
Yep.
Back-to-back years, the same matchup in the AFC Championship game. It's Bengals in Arrowhead again. Burrow, Mahomes, four. Mm-hmm. Of which Burrow is 3-0. And we talked about this before of, look, you know, this was the one. This was the game that felt you got to go into Buffalo. You know you can beat Kansas City.
Yeah.
You beat them earlier this year and felt like you left 11 points easy on the table against them. You've beaten them in their house. In the AFC Championship last year, you beat them in your own house last year. You feel like you have that card. You know how to play a team, but you didn't know about this place. So to now set yourself up to go there and play a Kansas City team that you have all the confidence in the world to go against, yeah. Again, no one should be surprised by anything this team does, including if it ends up with them with a Lombardi and the first title in franchise history.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Nor should it.
No. Nope.
Nor should it. I don't know how you watch this game today and say, yeah, that team can't win a title. Yeah. That looks like a team that is on a bullet train to winning a title right now, the one that played today. That doesn't mean anything's going to happen. It doesn't mean they're going to beat the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean they can go to Glendale and beat the Eagles or whoever comes out of tonight's game. I mean, that doesn't mean anything. But I don't think anybody wants to play a team that just did this to Buffalo in the snow in Orchard Park.
10 in a row.
That's right. 10 in a row. All right. Off we go. The season continues, Jay.
It sure does.
We are booked for Kansas City. We will be there. Of course, we'll keep it rolling with you this week. All the content you could possibly want will be coming your way. So make sure you keep it locked to the Walkout. Make sure if you're not a subscriber to The Athletic Boys, it's the time to do it. Plenty of great content coming your way from here in the locker room. A lot of scenes to paint for you for all the absurdity that was said and heard. You heard some of it here in the celebratory home locker room. By the way, thank God for open locker rooms being back.
Oh, my God.
You know, last year, this time, the win in Tennessee, we're doing press conference room, they're trotting a person in. Mm-hmm. You hear the madness happening in the room, but you really can't say anything about it. It's just whatever. Kansas City, we're on Zooms from the press box. Yeah. I mean, enough of that. To be able to be in there and really deliver the feel of what was happening to you guys today is an absolute pleasure. And so glad that we're back able to do it the right way, because you guys deserve to know every little detail of what this team is doing right now, because it's a special run they're on. You know, these 2 years, you know, we can talk all we want to about Joe Burrow's Super Bowl window being his whole career. That's a nice thing to say, but you don't have 2 year stretches like this. Even the greatest, you know, it's so rare. I mean, you can kind of want it back to back AFC title games, potential to be back to back Super Bowl appearances. It's so rare. It's so hard to do. They have such a special group in there right now. I hope Bengals fans are enjoying it. I think they are. It's one of the most likable teams, certainly, that they've ever had around here. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Hope you enjoyed the Walkout. So from snowy Orchard Park, I hope we make it back to Cincinnati tomorrow. We will do our damnedest. Bengals 27, Bills 10 in the divisional round here. Have a good one, everybody.